Welcome to the Create Your Shape podcast. I'm Jenny, the nutritionist, and I'll be teaching you the strategy, structure, and science to build muscle and decrease body fat, specifically for ladies who work out. Welcome back to the Create Your Shape podcast. Today, I have a special guest on, Jeremiah, and I actually don't know how to say your last name. How do you say your last name?
Bear.
Jeremiah Bear. Welcome.
Thank you. I am so excited to be here.
Yeah. So I know you through Aaron, but then I actually met you at a nutrition conference that we were at. But one of the reasons why I wanted to have you on is I know you coach similar types of ladies. You coach women and you have your own nutrition coaching business. So I think it'll be fun to just talk about the similarities and things that we consistently coach on, but also your content, because there's a lot of bro content out there. And I'm kind of over the fighting over this exercise is the best. No, this exercise is the best, or this study is this, and just getting into the weeds and like who can be louder and who can just fight on the internet the most. And it always comes back to me. I'm like, who is this helping? Because this is like, to me, it seems very like helping their ego versus actually just helping people. And I found your content truly just helps people. And I feel like it's almost becoming a lost art. So I really appreciate that and want to talk about some of it today. And also, you coach very similar ladies that I coach. So I think it'd be really helpful for my ladies to maybe hear some things that I talk about, but also, but in a different way from your lens and some things you do. So if you could introduce yourself and then we'll get into it.
Yeah, absolutely. So first of all, again, thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here and to catch up. I know we've really talked to Aaron quite frequently, but I've really only gotten to meet and chat with you two consistently once. But from following you since then, same thing. Like, I really enjoy your content. And also, even from like the language you use and the things you talk about so consistently, I can tell we just work with such a similar demographic. I've thought the same thing many times. So and there's a lot of crossover there. So I'm really excited to get into this conversation as well. But yeah, a little bit about me. I have been a coach for almost 10 years now. I am the founder of our coaching company, Elevated Coaching Systems. So there are four of us. I have the best team. They're all so much smarter, so much better coaches than me. And I'm so lucky to have them. But yeah, we primarily work with women who really, I would say, are already past kind of the beginner stage. Again, I think pretty similar to who you work with, where it's typically I've been in the gym for at least a couple months to typically it's more like a couple years. I've tracked macros. I've gotten the gains, the progress that I want to see from doing the basic things. And now I need to understand I'm kind of once again stalled. And like, I might already be like, my friends probably tell me I'm already like relatively fit. Like, why do you need to like keep working out or whatever it may be? But it's typically someone who is also an overachiever. And I want like to achieve that well above average. We also, which I think you're very similar, we also tend to attract a lot of very like type A individuals. So that's really almost exclusively who we work with. And again, really who I try to speak to in my content. And again, it means a lot that it's so helpful.
Yeah. Yeah. Very similar in terms of my audience and my ladies for sure. So how did you get to this place where you've kind of niched down to women and then attracted kind of this type of person that you just described?
Yeah, that is a good question because it's not at all what I initially intended. I thought I was initially going to be like the like hypertrophy coach for men. And then I don't know if I just never got jacked enough or what it was, but I mean, right from the start within coaching, just most of who tends to hire you, at least how it's always been for me, is mostly women, right? And within that, always just connected better, I think, especially like in the online side of things. The communication side of it is so important. And I feel like I've always just been able to like foster and communicate with like this demographic specifically so much better. So it wasn't necessarily something that I was intentional about. Again, for the start of, I started training in 2014 and trained in gyms from 2014 till the end of 2018. Really at the time, it was kind of just like work with whoever, but I've always been more interested in like going a little bit beyond just the basics of like hit your calories and protein and train 3 days a week, right? Like the most foundational principles, but again, like getting a little bit more into the more complex aspects of all this that, again, like once we get past that beginner level, do start to make much more of a difference. Has always, I've always wanted to work more with that clientele. So, and always enjoy that a lot more. So that's part of why I transitioned online as well, right? Where it's, whereas I was training people in person in Nebraska at the time, there's just not that many people who like want that. And then again, it kind of just from who I tending to work with more women, just naturally who would come into the gym and sign up for coaching, just was kind of who I was learning more and more about. And man, it just kind of, this is just kind of what it turned into again. And it's just seemed to always be like myself and everyone else on our team. We have conversation around this constantly. And it's just like this exact person is who everyone enjoys working with the most. And there have been times, honestly, where we've tried to like, it might make more sense for us to speak to this person. And then it's like, that's an immediate no, we don't want to go in that direction. So it's just, again, kind of just who we all tend to enjoy working with the most, but it's not necessarily something that I like set out from the start to, I'm just going to work with this population.
Yeah, I think what you said about communication is so key, and probably, I mean, same why I enjoy your content so much is the way you communicate. And so I guess if I like it, right, I probably fit that ideal client too, just like absolutely. My, and that probably helps to attract that type of person too. Yeah. So speaking of that type of person, also side note, you're very jacked. Aaron, this is like such a
that is so flattering. No one's ever told me that before. Thank you.
Yeah, Aaron actually, he's like, Jenny, look at this, and showed me a picture of you the other day, and was like going on and on about how great you look. And so
that means so much to me.
Got a little bro crush, I think, which is so cute. But no, you're definitely jacked. Just so the audience knows, and we're very clear on that. But something speaking about like women, right, and coaching women, and this is something that I see all the time. And actually, Aaron quoted this the other day, and I was like, "What? That's so good. I'm going to start using that." He's like, "I got to be honest, Jeremiah is the one who said I got it from him."
And giving me so many props.
Yes, he's a fan. The problem isn't they're under eating; it's they're under fueling. Mm-hmm. I think that's so good because I do speak a lot about under eating because I think it really simplifies it. But I think if we were to fine tune that, it really is. The problem isn't they're under eating, it's they're under fueling. So can you just describe what that means a little bit?
Yeah, absolutely. And this originally came up actually prepping for a podcast with Aaron and Brian about reverse dieting. Because again, like I fully agree. Like I think under eating is a good way to simplify it. And there's so much conversation around like this person was under eating and now look how much more they're eating. And suddenly they got way leaner and their physique changed. And it's like, hey, like, is that actually the complete picture of what's happening here? Is that actually accurate? But again, it's like, we kind of have to sometimes simplify things to make sure it like really clicks with the right audience. But yeah, to kind of explain that, I really think like the most common scenario of this is like so many, you probably see the same thing. So many people will start with us and it's like, I'm only eating 1200 calories, for example, and I just can't lose weight, right? And again, we know like, okay, scientifically, if you were actually eating, not necessarily 1200 calories, but for most people, 1200 calories would be like you were eating significantly less than you're burning. You should very much be losing body fat, right? So again, like people oftentimes misconstrue this as I'm not eating enough. And is that maybe why I'm not losing, when really, again, it's not necessarily that, or that's why my physique isn't changing. When really, it's again, oftentimes I'm just not fueling myself well. And there's again, a big difference between the two, right? So for example, like one of the most common things, again, we see is like that client is like, I'm only eating 1200 calories a day and I can't lose weight. And typically what that looks like is maybe this person is like throughout the week, maybe there's 3 to 4 days of the week where they are truly only eating 1200 calories. But on the weekends, it's suddenly like, maybe I'm not tracking my food, or 3 to 4 days a week, right? Where it's the couple days I track, yes, I only eat 1200 calories, but these other days I'm way over my intake, or there's at least 2 days a week where, again, I kind of completely fall off because I feel so restricted, so hungry from what I've done throughout the week, or maybe it's under eating all day and then overeating at night, right? Those are both very common ways that this manifests itself.
Yeah, that's exactly what I see, that maybe they're like, oh, I'm sticking to 1200 calories, or in their mind, the effort, right? Their whole effort is 1200 calories, but then they're so busy at work during the day, then they don't eat and they get home and they're starving and they eat a bunch, or same thing. They feel so like restricted throughout the week, then the weekend it's going over. And maybe like the majority of the time, maybe like 70% of the time, they are at 1200 calories, but right. it's so much lower than they need that they've really suppressed their mm-hmm. their metabolism. And then when they do get to eat a bunch more, it's almost like their body's like, this is very simplified, but like, oh my gosh, so much food. I'm going to more prefer to store it as body fat. So that's typically what I see too.
Yeah. And again, it's not just even looking at fat loss or weight loss, but physique change as a whole. And as you said, like it could be 70, 80, 90% of your week, you actually are under eating, you are in deficit, right? But when we look at like your weekly total and we have that like that one or after dinner every night when it's like, I'm so hungry that I just tend to just go overboard for 30 minutes or again, like that 1 to 2 days on the weekend. And that can easily undo a lot of that to where it's, I really kind of call it the worst of both worlds when we typically approach this because, or when we see this, because it's, you probably are in a deficit. You probably feel like you're dieting most of the time. But again, because of those instances, we're not losing fat. But at the same time, I also typically see this as, again, typically that type A, very driven person, probably drinks a lot of caffeine. They typically wake up very early in the mornings to go train, go crush themselves in the gym. But it's typically, I'm training fasted and maybe I get done with that workout at like 6 to 7 a.m. and I don't eat until like noon, right? Or I'm training all week and I'm under eating all week. And then most of my calories are coming in on the weekend. So because of that, again, like the way we're fueling, we're not doing a good job fueling ourselves going into our session or recovering from those sessions with, again, like our boluses of food being so far from our windows of training that, again, we're in a suboptimal position to build muscle. So again, it's the worst of both worlds. We are training hard. We feel like we're working in the gym when we're not building muscle, which again is going to be just as important just as big of a lever for changing your physique as losing fat. And then we also feel like we're dieting all the time, but not losing fat. So again, it's kind of just like this purgatory that's a terrible place to be in. But truly, I see so many people kind of stuck in this place.
Yeah. And they're like, okay, I want to go to the next level. And I just need to do everything better and more and stricter. Mm-hmm. And
so I need to train 6 days a week now, right? Is typically the next conclusion.
Yeah. And I need to add cardio. And then maybe I need to go to like 1100 calories or eat cleaner. And yeah. And, right. And so something else you shared was that something to the effect of, which describes these people perfectly, of I'm already training hard. I'm already, you know, training a lot. I'm already like tracking macros and I'm already doing so like in their mind, like very consistently, but mm-hmm. I'm not getting results. Right. And then right. you shared like the two things that are like the most two common mistakes that you see are one, training style and stimulus, and then eating enough, like yet maintenance calories, right? For long enough.
Yeah.
So can you just kind of describe what you mean by training style and stimulus?
Yeah, absolutely. So again, I think both of us very much work with clients who want physique change, right? It's very aesthetic focused. So essentially, most of our clients want to basically be leaner and have more muscle, right? In some way, shape, or form. Like if you say change your shape, I love that. I think that's such a good way to like to describe that, right? Where again, like we're not just focusing on fat loss. I always say the fat loss, if we just lose fat, it's just basically a smaller version of the same shape you have. Muscle is actually yes. what allows you to change your shape, right? So
wait,
building muscle
really quick and emphasize that.
Absolutely.
You just focus on fat loss. It's just a smaller version of the same shape you have. So right. good. Yeah.
Right. Okay. And that's again, the cool thing about the building muscle. And this is, I think that like most of the women we coach typically start with us already pretty lean and they think I just need another diet. I just need the right diet and get leaner still. And that's the thing that's going to like allow me to get the physique I want. But it's again, for most, it's we need to do a better job fueling. That doesn't necessarily mean like we need to eat more calories, but again, like this, do a better job fueling yourself. What we mentioned around the peri-workout window, your micronutrition, things of that nature. And then really adding more tissue to your frame. That's again, going to change the shape and really is going to be a big part of what's going to allow you to get the physique that you want. But then within that, to bring that back to, of course, the way we're training is so important, right? That's going to be the most important factor for actually building muscle, which again is going to be at least 50% of getting the physique that you want. And I think here it's so important to distinguish the difference between like, just because a training session feels hard or you're out of breath, or again, you feel tired at the end of it, doesn't necessarily mean that it is effective for building muscle. So we also work with a lot of clients that are coming from like an Orange Theory, right? Or F45. And those things do feel hard, but we have to look at, again, what actually is going to stimulate muscle growth. So to actually stimulate muscle growth, basically, let's say we are trying to build, let's say we're talking about glutes. To actually stimulate growth in your glutes past, again, like that point where it's like basically whatever I do the first couple of months I'm in the gym, no matter what, like what I do is going to build some muscle past that point. We need to really fatigue the muscle fibers of whatever muscle it is we're trying to grow. We need to basically push them to the point where that tissue, that muscle tissue is so close to failure that at most we could maybe do 1 to 2 more reps before it would be, again, the fatigue in your glutes just basically causes you to fail, right? But again, the problem with so many of the approaches people take to training, so for example, like Orange Theory, or if we're looking at like something that's more cardio-based, right? Let's say you're doing like a set of 50, let's say you're doing a set of 50 bodyweight squats. Within that, yeah, like it might burn, you might feel tired at the end, but like, is it truly like, oh my gosh, my glutes or my quads or whatever focusing on here, are they actually at a point where they are so close to failing that we could only do like another rep or two, right? And if not, again, it's probably not actually that effective for muscle growth. So then within this, then it gets into both the exercises that we're selecting. There's, and this will vary some by the individual, but there's definitely going to be more optimal options within the movements that we're selecting that will really allow, kind of think of it as the limiting factor to the movement. Basically, think the thing that causes us to stop the movement for muscle growth, we always want it to be whatever target muscle or muscles we are trying to grow, right? So again, like even I really like the example of like a back squat versus like a hack squat, where especially for someone who's not an adept back squatter, might not be built for it. For some people, it's a good exercise, but let's say we're looking at your quads. For most people, I know me included, if I'm doing a back squat, it's basically the thing that causes me to fail is maybe like my back hurts or I feel like my form is giving out or the lack of stability, right? It's very rarely like, oh my gosh, my quads are so close to failure that I just can't keep going. Whereas if we're in a movement like hack squat, where we're much more stable, we can really just focus on output. We don't have to think as hard about the way we're executing it. We can just focus on pushing. It is so much easier to, again, ensure that the quads in that case are the limiting factor, but it really applies to anything there. So those are a couple of things we focus on. And then again, a lot of times, I'm not sure if you see the same, do you do the training side of things as well in your coaching?
I do not. It is a requirement that they're already training and lifting 4 times a week. So most of the time they're on a training program already, but I do recommend, or we have one call that we review and discuss and make sure it's optimal. Again, going right over the checklist that you're talking about, like,
I love it.
Do these exercises align to the shape that you want to build? Is it progressive overload training, you know, and kind of going through it. And then I do have them submit weights they're using in their check-in.
I love
it. Something that I typically see, which you might see too, is they're using the same range of weights for upper body as for lower body. Mm-hmm. And they want to build glutes. And I'm like, well, did you know you could probably do 200 pound or more, you know, glute bridge or hip thrust. And so it's just opening their eyes to that. But anyway,
Yeah, absolutely. And that really ties in very nicely to the next point I was going to make, where again, first and foremost, we want the limiting factor here to be the target muscle group that we are trying to build. So again, let's say glutes, right? It could be, and glutes is one that a lot of people struggle with, where this is really where first, I do think, especially for glutes, I think that more stable options, so typically that's going to be something more machine based, is typically better. Because so for example, let's look at like a barbell deadlift, a movement a lot of people are familiar with, right? And again, so there, consider, okay, we're doing this to grow our glutes, we want glutes to be the limiting factor. A lot of times what people run into is, okay, first and foremost, my grip gives out first, right? Mm-hmm. Your grip muscles, the muscles associated with that, should probably be weaker than your glutes, especially if you're like trying to build a wagon, like you're unless your forms are crazy jacked as well, they're never going to be able to keep up. So us using something like wrist straps is going to help that be help keep the glutes limiting factor rather than your grip. Mm-hmm. We could also look at, again, something like, maybe I feel like my core strength is the limiting factor here, right? That stability, my ability to execute well, which is again why, like, for a lot of movements, for glute movements specifically, again, like Because they typically are, there is a lot more axial loading or spinal loading with those movements that are like more free weight based. And it's even like a movement like a reverse lunge, for example, I think is one that's very hard for people to really get close to that failure point. Whereas more often than not, like I'm like kind of falling, right? I like fall to the side and I like have to catch myself. Whereas if we do that on a Smith machine or a single leg press, for example, it's so much easier to just keep the tension on the muscle. But again, roundabout back to what I was initially saying, the next piece of this past, like making sure the target muscle group is a limiting factor, is going to be actually pushing to that point where, again, we truly have only one or two more reps in the tank. And this is kind of one of the biggest, I would say, again, like the proper exercise and selection is huge, but this is probably the biggest piece when it comes to building muscle most people are missing, is truly pushing hard enough. And it's especially for lower body, a lot of people can take it there pretty quickly. But as you said, like, hey, you're using the same weights for lower body as you are upper body, right? Where, again, we really have to look at, kind of dark, but I always use the analogy, like, okay, gun to my head. Like, if everything was on the line, could I really only do like one to two more reps with good form? And oftentimes, again, like what people think is failure is so far, like typically like what people think is one rep in the tank is more like six, seven reps in the tank, if not more, yeah, when they first start. And this is a huge part of, this is something that it does typically take a couple months to learn, but that training intensity, there's almost always so much to improve here. But the cool thing about this is one of my favorite parts of coaching, because very few people like start with us already having this mastered. And again, like the nutrition piece of it is huge. But this also makes such a difference that when we actually are properly training for the first time, most people have, especially during those first few months, the ability to add quite a bit more tissue to their frames, which even if we're not losing any body fat, if we have more muscle, your body fat percentage will be lower. You'll look leaner. Yeah. And again, it just changes your physique so much. So, I mean, there, I think like the form videos are a huge part of it. A logbook, as you said, is also a huge part of it, right? If we're going in lifting the same weight, same reps, every week, right? The goal should be, you won't always be able to do this, but the goal should be, hey, can I do a little bit more than I did last week? Can I add another rep or two? Can I add a bit more load?
It kind of makes it more fun too. I find a lot of it like turns their like athlete mindset on, which some may have been athlete in the past, some not, but it makes it more enjoyable because it's like they're going in with a purpose for that specific training session with a goal there. So I find that makes it a little more fun, but I do find it is a mindset shift for sure. And this is something still that I definitely like know I need improvements on, where it's, you go in and you got to be 105% most sessions. Right. And so if you're used to just going in and being like, oh, checking the box and kind of just like showing up and getting it done. If you truly want to build muscle, like you've got to have a different mindset going into it where you're like mentally preparing to go in.
Oh yeah. Especially with the lower body training. And that's like my coach every week, I send him my hack squat video, pendulum, leg press, because it's like, those are the ones where it is so easy for me to like, I'm going to call that good enough, because it's kind of scary, especially when you're getting close to failure. And I also think it is very helpful. Like for a lot of clients, one of the things we focus on is first starting with a safe movement. So think like a leg curl, a leg extension, even like a Smith machine glute bridge, or like a leg press, where I like to start with those prior three options. And like, hey, I want you to load up a weight you think you could do for 10 reps. I want you to record yourself. You're going to send it to me so I can also break this down. But I want you to literally just go until you can't lift the weight anymore. And almost always what we'll see, like that glute bridge example happens all the time. Almost always what we'll see is, well, the weight you loaded up for 10 reps, and it'll typically be like the last of three sets. That weight you loaded up, you did 10, 10 in this last set. We did like 19 reps, right? Yeah. So what that tells us is going forward, if we're aiming for one to two in the tank, we still have so much more. Even like something on a leg press, though, I think it can be very helpful for a lot of people to just like speaking, because I think like lower failure on lower body movements can be scary, but again, getting close to it is so important. Even like I'll have clients like, hey, just with empty sled, put the safeties up on the leg press and see what it's like to actually like fail and like have to dump that. And it's like, okay, it's not that scary. And then like working through that can be so helpful. But also like I find similarly, the way so many programs out there are is like everything. It's like a training session is like 8-10 movements or more, and everything's like 4 to 5 sets. Really, something that I've found so effective for the ladies we coach is a lot of times we'll pull it back to just two sets. Like a client I just posted yesterday, she's made such incredible gains in her lower body, especially. And she's such a good example of this, where so much of it has been just like us pushing her harder and harder. But everything is like, hey, you only have two sets to get this right. And it's also, if you have to do like 4 to 5 sets and it's like, this has to be close to failure, that is just so much mentally. Whereas really, if we push extremely hard in our training, we can get so much out of just 1 to 2 hard sets. And it's, I think, so like from the mental efficient aspect, that's also, oh, absolutely.
And I
but it's, like, go ahead.
My ladies, they are strapped for time too, which I'm sure yours are too. And anything that's going to be more efficient, it's like, oh yes. And the whole concept of, wait, I don't need to do more and more and more. I don't need to be able to do longer, longer, longer. And kind of like you just said, it's like actually doing less, but doing it with more intention is going to get you far better results.
Right. And that's the beauty of, again, like looking at, I don't need to do more. Like, don't I need to do more? Because all things in life, like basically like continued progress requires continued stress. And that's the beauty of like, if I'm a distance runner, I have to, the way to add more is by me running more miles, right? But, and that's more time. But the beauty of this is you just add more by adding more load. That doesn't even mean we have to necessarily like add more reps or add more sets or anything of the sort. We can continue to overload that for so long. But again, like I think for most people, like that lower volume, like less total sets. And again, like we're just going to do 2 sets, maybe even 1 set here, but push this extremely hard. Mm-hmm. Again, as you said, it's more efficient. But also, I find like I get such better effort from clients when you take that approach. I've been shifting more and more of our clients to that approach. I know our whole team has, because we have seen better outcomes from it. And again, also, it's more efficient.
Yeah, I like that. And so the second part of this is the biggest mistake that you see is avoiding significant time at maintenance or surplus calories. And absolutely. So this is, again, under fueling, going back to that. Mm-hmm. And fueling enough. And do you find that it's something that they're just unaware that they need to be eating as much, or they're unaware like how to do it and execute it, or they're scared because carbs are the devil? What do you typically see?
What I typically see is most of this demographic that we work with, again, thinking that the thing that's going to get them the physique they want is getting leaner. When it's like, hey, you've been dieting or trying to diet, and like no matter how lean we get you, you're still not going to have that shape that you want. When again, really the thing is muscle. Like adding more muscle is going to be what's most beneficial, and we are going to be so much better fueled for, you're going to be able to train harder, you'll be able to recover better for so many different reasons. We're going to be able to add more muscle tissue when we are eating more food. And again, like that's not even like, to bring it back to the under fueling, it might not even be like a, again, you might not even be losing body fat. Like it might be like that example of 4 or 5 days a week, maybe you are in a deficit, and then 2-3 days a week we're way over, so we're still not losing. But again, just like that intentional time about, rather than like trying to lose, my intention here is I am going to fuel my body as best as I possibly can. I'm going to do a good job fueling myself around the training. It's not a ton of like, I'm trying to bank calories for the evening, so I have more to spend here. And again, like there's very little around our training sessions, and being intentional about that. And again, when we compare that with someone understanding the best movements to implement to build muscle and that hard training, and when you compare all those things together, your physique will change so much. Like we just posted on our team page, a client that I worked with for 2.5 years. And it's funny, I was talking about this on the podcast earlier. I think this is like the, you know, sometimes we like post someone's like transformation and a lot of people will apply for coaching. I think this is like the example where I got the most applications ever from that. And it's funny because we worked together for almost 2.5 years, and for nearly 2 of those years, and she looks completely different than the before and after, but there's a 1 pound difference between them. And almost 2 of those years, we weren't dieting. We were either at maintenance or like in a slight surplus, focusing on building. And again, it's not like she lost a lot of weight. She definitely had a lot less body fat and more muscle. But again, it was really like the thing we did was focusing so much on building. So really that's for almost everyone. Again, like that's why I say that's such an important variable, because especially if you have already gotten kind of those newbie gains, which most people will get from like, I'm just doing whatever in the gym and training hard. Again, like that client, like the people we work with are typically at the point where it's, I want more than that. If you're at that point, and especially once we've also like had a couple months of very effective training, which again, we might be able to squeeze out some more muscle growth there, even if it's not like we're doing a great job fueling ourselves. But then past that point, you're not gonna be able to continue to add muscle with, well, or at least not a significant amount, well, we're also consistently under eating and not really fueling that process well, right? And muscle growth is also so much more of a slow process versus fat loss. Like at that point, if you can build a pound of muscle in a month, that's incredible progress. Yeah. You can easily lose a pound of fat in a week, right? So we just need to devote more time to that process as well. If again, like continued physique development is the goal.
Yeah. And that's a perfect segue into something I wanted to cover of time. So you just shared it took two and a half years to create that.
2.5 years. Yeah.
Yeah. Physique like transformation photo. I think so many people have in their mind their like transformation photo and don't realize how long that actually takes, because most of the time you just see it without context of the time it takes. So can we just talk about that? And then you also talked about like building a pound of muscle in a month is like a lot of progress. So what do you typically see as how long it takes to complete these transformations, and then breaking down how long in the, you know, building muscle phase and about how much muscle you see gained, and then how long in the deficit phase and what that looks like?
Yeah. And I think this is such an important conversation to have. And I also always want to be careful, like throwing any numbers out there, because of course it does vary by person. But for someone starting with us, let's say it's almost always longer than you want by quite a bit. Mm-hmm. And that's, again, I think it's also helpful to look at typically the people who have the physiques you want. You also have to look at the amount of time they spent focusing on that and how well they've been doing things. And it will typically be like, it's been years and years and years, where the reality is most people who are working with a coach, like you might get there in a quicker, much quicker fashion than them, but it will still take a long time. So again, like what I'll say is like for the clients we work with, where it's because again, like building muscle is typically a big part of the transformations we see. And a lot of the women we work with do want a decent amount of muscle, where it's, hey, maybe you started and you didn't have a lot. And at the end, like in the after picture, for example, you have a pretty significant amount of muscle tissue. This isn't what people want to hear, but a lot of times that's the culmination of like 2+ years of work, just like that example that I put out there. But when it comes to building muscle, I really think that like at least a 4-to-1 ratio of time spent building versus trying to lose body fat is a good rule of thumb. Again, like that. We can lose a pound of muscle, or we can lose a pound of fat in a week easily. We at least a month to build a pound of muscle, depending on where you're at. And again, to really add a significant amount to your frame, there's so many people that'll be like, I want to do just like mini cuts and mini bulks, right? I want to like try to build for a month, maybe 2 months. And then from there, I feel a little bit fluffy. I need to hop back into fat loss. And again, like past a certain point, you're just not going to make progress like that. Especially like so many people have already been trying to take that same approach for so long. And it's like, I just want to hire a coach and try to do the same thing because I'm paying a coach now. Yeah. I'll somehow get a different result, which of course, unfortunately, isn't how it works.
Yeah.
So really, I think a bare minimum of if it's the first time you've really committed to doing it, I typically start with, I need you to commit to at least 6 months. Let's see how this goes. And we'll adjust from there. When I'm talking about, hey, to get to what you want, we need a period of time focusing on adding muscle tissue to your frame. And we call that a building phase. Now, I think a lot of times when people think about a building phase, they think like we have to be in a calorie surplus. And I also think like that's important because if someone comes to us and it's like, hey, you're already very lean, we don't need to push you in a fat loss right now, but also the training effort isn't there yet, right? The quality in your training isn't there yet. To really send in your body the signal that we need to add a lot more tissue. So if we just push you in like a quote unquote, like true bulking phase with the people think of, right, where we are actually in a slight calorie surplus, probably just going to gain more excess fat. So maybe we're just going to hang out at maintenance. We can still have you well fueled here. We can build some muscle. And then like after we've strung together a couple months, we're really training extremely hard. We're seeing more signs that we need more food. Maybe we do actually start to enter a surplus. But again, I always push like, hey, I need at least 6 months from you, because if it's again like 3, 4, 5 months even, we're just not going to see that much change unless you're an outlier. And we would kind of already know if you're an outlier for most people. But realistically, again, like I say, like most of the like when I've seen physiques change the most, it's when we have like a good 8+ months of building and we already have a lot of good momentum. We know how to train well. We know how to push extremely hard. And again, like sometimes that is, this is also all a skill, right? Where again, a lot of times, even like that first building phase we go through with a client, again, like the client I used before, it was, we spent like a good 9-10 months focusing on building, quick fat loss phase. And then that next building phase was really where, like, we, that second half of the first building phase, we picked up a lot of momentum. She understood how to train hard, really had everything nailed down. So we could really just kind of hit the ground running in the second one. And we added a lot more tissue during that one than the first. So again, like, I think really, truly, completely transforming your physique, it varies a lot by person, but especially if we're talking about adding a lot of muscle, a good couple years is a very safe bet for most people.
Yeah, no, that's in like exactly what you said. It's going to vary, but to give just people an idea that it's not 30 days, I think is really helpful.
And no, so then no, absolutely.
After building muscle phase, how long do you typically diet ladies for? And again, this is going to be individual. How much weight do you have to lose? You know, what's their circumstances of health, adherence, and all of that? But to see significant change.
Yeah, absolutely. So within that, like before we go into a building phase, again, some people, like when we're talking about the building phase, you might be that person, depending on how much muscle you want to add. If it's like, I want to add a significant amount of tissue, and it's again, like 10 plus pounds of muscle from where you are currently, we're going to have to gain some body fat eventually to get to that point. But if it's just like, I want to tone up a bit, get a bit leaner, build a bit of muscle, we may very well see, hey, like if you're already pretty lean, like I can think of several clients on our roster right now where it's kind of just been like hanging around out around maintenance the entire time, but they've responded so well to that improvement in training stimulus that again, like body fat stays the same, but because they have more muscle in your frame, again, your overall, or the, like the, if we look at the ounces of fat on your body, right? We might not have been in deficit. We might not have actually lost there, but because we've added more muscle and had you better fueled, you are actually leaner, right? And so, yeah. And maybe just by doing that, some people will get the physique they want. That's less common.
But those again, people are great because then after they're like, I actually don't want to go into a deficit. I actually look great, feel great. I'm eating so much food and it's all good. Yeah.
Right. And we all also like typically I want to knowing like, hey, we're going to be going into a good 6+ months where you're not going to be getting any leaner. Are you okay with like that amount of time? And this typically does take some coaxing. And again, like constantly tying this back to, here's where we're going to be long-term due to like the time we're investing here, but are we okay with not feeling any leaner than you are currently for again, 6+ months. And sometimes, so a lot of times it will be like, hey, maybe we do need to enter a quick cleanup phase first to give us a longer runway, especially if it is like a more advanced client where we do know, hey, we may need to eat, we'll for sure need to eat in a slight surplus, and thus we're probably going to gain some body fat alongside this. But from there, as far as how long we spend in fat loss, I don't like to get people too far away from, like, I don't, when we do a building phase, well, we typically don't need to push body fat up too much. So like a client by the point where we're truly doing a building phase where we're gaining fat. And again, it's not going to typically be a ton. If we manage that well, it's typically going to be something like a 12 to maybe we're doing a photo shoot, like a 16, 18 week cut. Because again, typically by the time people get to that point, they've also acquired like the skill of dieting. As I'm sure you're very aware, like the first time you take a client through a fat loss phase, it's so much harder. It's kind of like this epic journey. And then after that, it's like, oh, wow, that's actually so much easier now that I like know how to do this well.
Yeah.
So again, it typically doesn't. I would say it's typically going to be something like anywhere from 8 to 16 weeks, I would say, is going to be pretty normal. Yep. Again, I think more so like that, like epic, longer, drawn out diet where it just seems like such a journey for people is more so like probably someone who we had to diet down first before we entered a building phase in the first place. But again, we can typically, it doesn't take long at all to get that done with. And again, I think that's the most important thing to understand. And like when I'm, because getting the buy-in for building phases is so hard because it can be scary, right? Like I'm going to be gaining fat here. But again, that idea, hey, we add muscle slowly, but we can lose fat very quickly, right? So let's say you spend 10 months focusing on building. And let's say during that time you gain, 10 pounds during that time, and 6 of that's muscle, 4 of that's fat. Mm-hmm. Okay. So after that, if we gain 4 pounds of fat, let's say you started from a relatively lean position in 4 weeks tops, After that building phase is over, you could easily lose that 4 pounds of fat. You have an additional 6 pounds of muscle. You would look so much leaner. You would look completely different. And again, it would only take 4 weeks to get that off. And I think that's like kind of laying it out like that for most people is really makes it a lot less scary. Because again, I think like I like this. That's why I like building instead of bulking, because I think bulking people just associate with like, I'm going to like do the dirty bulk and gain a lot of body fat. Whereas really we can do it very controlled. We don't need to push body fat up to crazy high levels by any means. And really it shouldn't take that long to, we won't get away from like a healthy body fat if we're doing it well. And it won't take that long to get back to your leanest, really within a couple months at most, we can be there typically.
So for many people might be like, yeah, but a 2 week challenge or a 30 day, whatever. It's not that. It's still, like you said, like 8 to 12-ish weeks. And, right. But something that I see is people don't understand what that actually looks like, what that takes in the diet phase.
Right.
So they think they can still like, again, like in their mind, they're like, oh yeah, I'm in a diet phase. I'm eating X amount, but really they're not 100%. And then they don't see the changes. And so do you see that too, where it's kind of like, sometimes you're like, no, like you have to understand that this isn't working because you're not actually doing it 100%.
Oh, absolutely. I typically like to communicate that you probably know like 1 to 2 people who can kind of just get away with whatever. I can think of 2 clients I've worked with. They're actually husband and wife, and they could both just like, I got this dude ready for a photo shoot. And it was like the week before he got shredded. It was crazy, but it was like the week before, it was just like, there were just a couple of days where you're just like completely MIA, just completely off track. And then it's, but there's the outliers who can do that. But for most people, I like to communicate like, hey, this is dieting almost feels unfairly hard with how accurate you have to be with things. How much is like, oh, I really have to measure that too. That really actually makes a difference. And like, unfortunately, it really does, but it's the same way for me. Like we're all kind of in this together. So we can either be frustrated about that or we can embrace that. And really, the approach I like to take with dieting and find what works best for most clients, not everyone, but for most people. Again, I think people have this idea that like my diet needs to be extremely flexible. And there's like, if you can't see yourself sticking to the diet for the rest of your diet for the rest of your life, then you're on the wrong diet, which isn't like, we are not going to be in a deficit for the rest of your life. Right. And really for most people, I think it's better to just like rip the bandaid off and accept, hey, now isn't the time to live your best life. Right. For most people, it is again, kind of that, like, I don't want to necessarily change my lifestyle. I don't want to like give up as many meals out as I have with alcohol or whatnot. And what that results in is, again, kind of that same thing before where it's, you always feel like you're dieting, but you never have to make the progress. And even then, it's like that little bit of extra flexibility you get where it's like more meals out. So there's more room for tracking accuracy errors, right? Or forgetting foods because we're kind of all over the place with our diet. We're not going into things with any structure at all. All those little things that it might even look like you're hitting your macros on paper, but there's, again, like foods that we're forgetting. If we're eating a lot of meals out, there's easily like oftentimes up to 100% more calories than what you might plug in MyFitnessPal or Chronometer or whatever it is, that it might look like you're hitting your macros on paper, but again, we're not making progress. So for most people, I find it's better to like, hey, let's just buckle down, get this done with sooner rather than later. Let's be okay with, we're not going to be as flexible during this time. We're not going to live our best life during this time, but what this is going to allow, rather than this diet taking like 6-8 months, let's get it done in like 3. And then you're back to maintenance. You do have more food. You do have more flexibility again, but you also have the physique you want. You're leaner. You feel better, right? So I honestly, for most people, like, I never used to be on board with this at all, but I really like these meal plans with a lot of the clients we work with.
I literally have that written down. I was like, I cannot wait to ask about this because it's something I've been dabbling with, or not dabbling, like questioning, because I have been doing macros. And I find that, kind of like you said, there's like always a couple outliers. And then probably half or more of the ladies who are savvy with macro tracking get it, right? And have no problem hitting macros, understand the accuracy, all of that. But there's always like a couple that they think they're doing it, but they're not. And I'm like, okay, let's just go on a meal plan because then we'll actually. Right. And some of my ladies, when they do that, they're like, oh my gosh, this is actually so much easier because I don't have to think and I can just follow the meal plan. But it's something that I haven't fully implemented, but I was curious on your thoughts on that because yeah, it's like, do you want to make it like slightly more sustainable by having more flexibility by you tracking macros, mm-hmm. or do you want the results faster by right. being on a meal plan?
I think that, and we kind of still take a hybrid approach, but it is something that like over the last year and a half, we use more and more and more. I think macros are a great tool and they're not mutually exclusive. Anytime we give someone a meal plan, they still know what their macros are. Mm-hmm. So we kind of frame it as a flexible meal plan. And the more extreme your goal, the rate of progress we want to see in fat loss, or if we're like going to do a photo shoot, it's probably better to stick to that closer and closer. But again, especially if it's like a lifestyle cut, for example, there will be times where it's like, hey, let's try to stick to this like 90% of the week. And one or two meals out, hey, there, like, you know what your macros are. Let's follow the meal plan for most of the day, or maybe here's how we adjust it to make this work. And you can still make that work in, rather than us constantly playing macro Tetris. Again, we're just using that flexibility when it's needed, rather than like kind of constantly being like, what it's going to come at me today, and I'm going to plug in my macros at the end of the day and hope it all works out, which it never works out, right? But similarly with macros, I think the problem, like what I saw over and over in coaching was a client who hadn't already been successful with macros before they worked with me, if I just like gave them macros and a good idea of like good food selection, basically what they would do is just try to squeeze their exact same like lifestyle food choices into their macros. And it's like, we're not actually showing you how to change or like how your lifestyle needs to change. And again, I think some people almost like try to use macros as a hack to where it's like, we're not changing our food quality. We're still like drinking just as much. And again, there's so much more to changing your body composition than just that. So I really like, I think meal plans are a great way to also like educate someone who doesn't, might not know as much about it, to create more structure around that. But then also in a fat loss phase, again, like that's going to be a time where, due to just the fact that we're eating less calories, your micronutrient intake is going to be oftentimes more limited. And as a whole, like from the micronutrient perspective, very few people are actually great with that, right? Especially when we're looking at like, what do we need to support your sex hormones, your thyroid, things of that nature. There's oftentimes so much left on the table. And again, a meal plan, especially in a fat loss phase, where we're more likely to be eating less and thus even more likely to be deficient in those things, a meal plan is a good way to have a structure to ensure that we are still consistently hitting those targets, which as a result is going to allow you to have the healthiest, most responsive body in the fat loss phase. And again, like it's how we approach it. It's not just like, and I think when people think meal plans, they just think like chicken, broccoli. And that's like, people kind of like saying meal plan kind of induces dread for most people. And it's like, I'm just going to have to eat these boring foods and be restricted to it forever. And it's, hey, first, no, like we don't have to, anytime it's like, I want to swap out, I'm tired of this meal, tell me. And then we'll also add in like food swaps, right? So, hey, you can swap all these different options in here if you would like. Let's just, again, like not every day try to completely reinvent the wheel.
Yeah.
And then again, it's like anytime you want to change this, even if you're tired on this, just let's talk about it and we can come up with different options. Or if we do want to go to just tracking macros, right? It's by no means a life sentence. And then again, most people find that similarly, because we work with such busy people, again, I think people think it's going to create so much restriction. And it's funny that people, like those same people, are okay with, I'm going to spend 20 minutes in my Fitness Pal playing macro Tetris and like, how do I need to adjust this recipe just right? I really think for most people, like doing that, I think like tracking macros well in a fat loss phase without any type of structure is honestly so much more restrictive, or at least more time consuming, than just knowing, okay, this is what I ate yesterday, so I'm gonna eat this again today. And again, if I want to adjust this, then I can play a little bit of macro Tetris. But again, it gives us like that. It gives us kind of a skeleton framework to make just being successful in the fat loss phase so much easier. And then we also don't run into the same problems of like logging food at the end of the day. And did I forget to eat this food? Because again, I just eat what I ate yesterday. I already know what my meals need to be. So I know if I'm eating something off track and I can take that into account. So I think, again, like, and it also, for clients who we are starting in a fat loss phase, it also, again, just sets up like such a good foundation of understanding how to fill, again, not all of your day, but a large part of your day and your week with more micronutrient dense foods that are really going to best support the best body composition as well. So I'm a big fan. Again, I thought for the longest time, it like, meal plans don't teach people, they're not sustainable. But I think if I was to say, Jenny, how do you eat? You probably have like 5-6 protein sources that you consistently use at most. Probably same thing for carb sources. Even if you don't have a meal plan, you probably have at least like 60 to 70% of my week is these meals that I consistently repeat. And I know I have this structure going into my day, right?
Yeah. Something that I personally do. And then I think it works so well that I teach my ladies to do is I essentially do create a meal plan. I'm just creating it myself where I'm at the beginning of the week, right? I create my meals that are going to hit my macros. And then I eat that all week and I just repeat it all week. And then the next week, I have like what I call a meal bank where I already have a handful of different meals that I've like created that are macro friendly, that create your plate and get, you know, protein, carb, fat, vegetable. And I don't have to think about it. I can be like, oh, I haven't had this in a while. I'm going to rotate it in. And then that's my meal plan for the week. And then I just don't think about it. And then in my app, I copy and paste, you know, and then the next week, it's kind of like that hybrid between meal plan and macros. But I do emphasize on teaching my ladies how to do that. So again, they're like empowered and in control, but again, you know, depending where you're at, some people might be really savvy and get it. And it's a skill and some people aren't. And it's like, okay, well, do you want to learn it more or do you want the results more? Because then maybe just giving you a meal plan is more optimal.
Yeah.
So go ahead.
No. And I do think the education part of that is so important as well, where again, it's never going to be like, we're just giving the meal plan and there's no education behind this. And that's typically what it'll turn into is someone will be like, hey, I want to start plugging something else in here. And it's okay, cool. So what do you think we should do? And that's a great learning opportunity. Again, like, let me know when you have meals coming out and I'll teach you how to be more flexible here. Or if someone isn't, like, they aren't really like trying to learn that, we'll be intentional about, all right, so I want you to create your plan for this week. And show me what it looks like because I want to make sure you're learning this as well. And I do think like that is important. But I think as you said, like there are so many different ways where basically just, especially in fat loss, just go in your week with structure. Like no one who maintains a lean, healthy physique over the long term is just like constantly winging it, right? Everyone, that structure is for all areas of life. I think like maintaining success structure is so important. And the same thing applies with nutrition. But I'm sorry I interrupted you.
No, perfect. The last thing I wanted to ask you about was just with these type of ladies and the typical like high stress individual, I see a lot of things in their blood work that need to be optimized and supported. I didn't know if that was something that you get into or if it's just something that you kind of naturally support through what you do with nutrition and lifestyle changes.
Yeah, we'll definitely dig into labs. I will say like from the functional perspective, Andrea on our team is so smart. So she's typically going to like guide me at least a lot in that, but we will definitely like dig into labs. And I mean, very consistently, especially, I mean, I'm sure we'll probably see pretty similar things, but typically like with sex hormones, especially like so many of the clients we work with are like have been on birth control recently, maybe are still on birth control. Of course, like that's, and I'm not going to like push anyone in either direction there, but typically like testosterone, progesterone. And a lot of times, like so much of what we work with as well is like issues with your cycle. You have really bad PMS and like working through those things. And again, like it's, we will, that's very frequent, but also a lot of times, especially for individuals who have dieted a lot. And again, I think so much of it stems from so many people just aren't aware of their micronutrient intake and like how important that is for things like supporting your thyroid, but also consistently dieting like 6, 8, 10 months out of the, or trying to diet 6, 8, 10 months out of every year and our micronutrient intake being so much reduced. And again, like those being so important to your thyroid, for example, and supporting that and like conversion of T4 to T3, for example, it's very, very common that again, we'll also see like, hey, your thyroid markers aren't in the best place as well. Yeah. So yeah, we do definitely dig into that. We always try to, and I think you're probably similar where I want to focus on lifestyle interventions, nutrition, sleep, stress management, things of that nature first. And then from there, like, do we need to get into the supplementation side and whatnot? But yeah, I think that's a very important, I think that like the functional side of things has sometimes been taken too far in the industry.
Yeah.
But I also think that I think people are kind of pushing back too hard now to like, we should never go there. And especially for so many of the ladies we work with, it's like from a hormonal perspective, again, your thyroid, like we need to help you support this because it's just going to make you getting what you want so much easier.
Yeah. And just feeling good in their day to day. Like that's been
right.
Some of these ladies, it's like, this has been life changing to me outside of this.
Oh, yeah.
We could probably do a whole episode on just that, but I know we've got to wrap up now. So where can people find you? Where can they follow you for this great content? How can they work with you? Give us all the deets.
Yeah, absolutely. So you can find me on Instagram at Jeremiah Bear. You can check out our team page. It is at Elevated Coaching Systems. I also have a podcast. It's basically our entire team's podcast. We're all constantly on there, but it is called Living Lean. And then if you want to work with us, you can just shoot me a DM or in the link in my bio or team page's bio, there is an application to apply to work with us. Then finally, I guess you can check out our website as well. We have tons of blogs, client case studies, things of that nature there as well. That's just elevatedcoachingsystems.com.
Awesome. Thank you so much for coming on and sharing your wisdom. It's been awesome chatting with you. The rest of the ladies, I will see you next week. Hey, if you work out and want to look like you work out, then you need to be in the Create Your Shape program. Learn more and get started at jennythenutritionist.com/create-your-shape. You can also follow me on Instagram for more content at jennythenutritionist.